Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Word of God that's the basis for our meditation this fourth Sunday in Epiphany is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 46 and 47. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the Word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who is the light in this world of darkness, who is the desire of all nations, the righteous King of peace, and the light of the Gentiles, fellow redeemed, in his most precious blood. Leftovers and hand-me-downs. When I was a boy, we were taught to eat everything on our plates, whether we wanted it or not. And if there was anything left over, it wasn't thrown away, it was put in the fridge and eaten later. There was nothing wrong with leftovers, at least not in our eyes. They were kept, they were eaten. When I was a boy, we also received hand-me-downs. I was the oldest, so when I grew out of the clothing that was still in good shape, it was moved from my dresser to that of my brothers. There was nothing wrong with hand-me-downs. They were accepted. They were worn. You see, when I was a boy, the idea of secondhand wasn't frowned upon, and it wasn't fashionable. It was just reality. We didn't have a lot of money, and we needed clothing, so if something was given to us, we wore it. No big deal. I'm not so sure that people think the same way in our country today. Oh, for a few people, it's become fashionable to shop secondhand stores. But for many others, the attitude is new or nothing. What exactly does this have to do with us here this morning? Well, most of us are not of direct Jewish heritage. We are descended from other nations. We are, according to the Bible, Gentile Christians. In fact, when we consider the Word of God before us this morning, we may conclude that we have been given a second-hand salvation because it was first offered to the people of Israel, and when they rejected it, it was offered to us. Yes, we've been given a second-hand salvation. But this truth should not tarnish the blessing we have been given. Instead, these words serve to us as a warning that if we reject the good news of what Christ has accomplished for us, or take it for granted, thinking that we deserve these spiritual blessings, then they may be taken away from us and given to someone else. But these words also serve to encourage us, for though we are not worthy of the salvation that God has given to us, the promises given to us in the Scriptures are the same as first given in prophecy and in promise to others. Therefore, may our God bless us and lead us to rejoice in our second-hand salvation through these words. We enter into our study with the words of Jesus as our prayer. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Would it surprise you to know that the worship service in the first century wasn't much different from our worship service here this morning? When the Apostle Paul first came to Antioch in the region called Pisidia in the Roman Empire, in the province of Galatia, modern-day Turkey, he went into the synagogue of the Jews, and according to this 13th chapter of Acts, we're given a thumbnail sketch of their worship service, and it may sound familiar. Synagogue worship involved singing and prayer. It also included two readings from the Scriptures and what we might call a sermon. After a reading from the Law, one of the first five books of the Bible, they heard a second reading from the prophets, yes, the same prophets we find in our Old Testament. After the second reading, the leader of the synagogue, call him the pastor if you will, Ask Paul and Barnabas if they had any words of encouragement to speak. Call it a sermon. The evangelist Luke records a summary of the Apostle Paul's sermon in the 13th chapter of Acts. The Apostle Paul directed his words both to the Jews present and also to those non-Jews who had become worshipers of Yahweh. It's a bit like a secondhand sermon, but let me summarize his sermon. The Apostle Paul reminded those worshipers that God had chosen the people of Israel to be his people and enlarged their numbers in Egypt, Old Testament history. The Lord God led them out of Egypt and put up with them for 40 years in the wilderness. He gave them the promised land, and then he gave them judges and kings, Saul and David. It was a historical lesson that they all knew, and that we're familiar with too. But then the Apostle Paul revealed to them what they didn't know, that God had sent his Savior from among David's relatives, a man named Jesus. God sent his Savior, but instead of receiving him, the people of Jerusalem rejected him and had him executed at the hands of the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. But God raised his Savior from the dead, as promised in the prophets and the Psalms. And then the Apostle Paul came to the main part of his sermon and what it all meant. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is preached to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Does that sound like a vaguely familiar message? It really should, because every sermon proclaimed from this pulpit ought to be the same. Law, gospel. Sin, grace. We should be told each and every Sunday that we stand condemned by the law of God and are bound for eternal death because of our sin. We should hear how we cannot free ourselves from our sin, our guilt, or from the righteous judgment of God's law. But we should also be told that we have forgiveness in Christ. We should hear how the forgiveness obtained by Christ's death and resurrection are also given to us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel message. Where both law, sin, and gospel, grace, are proclaimed, there sinners find comfort and forgiveness. Don't be deceived. Megachurches may arise around charismatic preachers and feel-good messages like those proclaimed by the Joel Osteens of this world. But the same churches crumble from within just as quickly because they don't proclaim sin and grace, while we still proclaim the same message that Paul did in Antioch, in Pisidia. Well, how did Paul's sermon go? Did the people like it? Well, when Paul proclaimed the gospel in Pisidia and Antioch, the Holy Spirit worked a great harvest of souls, as only the Holy Spirit can. The book of Acts reports, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke to them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. That sounds like every Christian's dream, to speak of Christ and be begged to come back the next week and say the same thing, please. Notice that they didn't ask if Paul could speak on something else. They didn't ask if he could say something different next time or new. They asked him to repeat the same thing the next Sabbath. Wow. God grant us grace so that the gospel of Christ never seems old to us, but always new and fresh, so we come to each worship service thinking, boy, I hope I hear that same thing again. I need to. Lest we tire of the message and begin to look for something new. Furthermore, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts and loosen our tongues that we look for every opportunity to share it. to say it again, to point other people to Christ, especially when the message is rejected, like it was by some in Antioch. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. I guess it wasn't all good, at least not from a human point of view. Why did some of the Jews reject the message? Why did they openly contradict Paul and even slander him? Well, you heard it. The Holy Spirit, who knows the hearts of men, reveals why it took place. Jealousy. Envy. Were the Jews there present simply jealous of the success that the Holy Spirit had granted Paul and Barnabas? Were they envious because almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God? Were they jealous because they believed that the message of salvation in the Christ was only meant for them? Were they jealous for God's word, thinking that Paul was speaking falsely? Could have been any one of those things, or a little of all of them. Whatever prompted their jealousy, the result was the same. They rejected the message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. They publicly opposed it. To which Paul and Barnabas responded with the words that are, finally, the sermon text. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." God had offered them forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He had done so because God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But when they rejected the message, they brought judgment upon their own heads. They judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. And that is the sad lot of all of those who reject Christ. It isn't that God doesn't want them. It's that they've rejected his salvation. The Apostle John wrote at the beginning of his gospel, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "So, Pastor, we haven't rejected the message. That's what we're here for. What are we to learn from this?" Well, there's surely a warning here about taking the message of Christ crucified and risen again for sinners for granted, thinking that we have deserved or in some way earned favor and spiritual blessings given to us. God didn't choose you because you were good people, but because you were needy sinners. God sent his Son to die for you, not to fill in the gaps in your own holiness, but to make it possible for you to be delivered from sin, death, and Satan. But do we think of ourselves sometimes as in some way deserving of God's mercy? Do we take for granted God's forgiveness to the point where we think that we can sin today and always get forgiveness tomorrow? If we do, then there's a warning here for us too. If we no longer hear the law of God and receive it, that it condemn our hearts, then we will not appreciate what Christ has done to deliver us from it. When the Jews in Antioch rejected the good news of what Jesus had done, it was taken away from them and it was given to the Gentiles. If we reject the message, it may be taken from us and to give it to someone else. But we may also find here encouragement, because the good news of what Jesus did for us has been given to us. It has been offered to us. This is God's good and gracious will. God intended to send his Savior for all of humankind, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Yes, God communicated his promises through the Jews, and those promises concerned both Jew and Gentile. But when the people of Israel rejected the good news of salvation, it was offered to someone else. Be that someone a Samaritan, a Macedonian, a Roman, or what have you. But Paul and Barnabas were only doing what the Lord himself had foretold through the prophet Isaiah. For so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Yes, you may be encouraged, because though none of us are worthy of the salvation that God has brought about in Christ Jesus, God has offered and given it to us. We can think of it as a secondhand salvation because it was first offered to somebody else. But from eternity, its blessings were intended for you. Your names were on the gift tag. The fact that salvation was given once to someone else and rejected doesn't make it any less precious to us. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins and are reconciled to God. In Christ, death has no power over us. We have eternal life. Now, let's not forget that God's blessings in Christ given to us are not only intended for us, but for every other human being, regardless of their relationship to us or their ethnic background. God's blessings in Christ can be handed down from generation to generation, from people to people, because the Holy Spirit still works through word and sacrament to make those blessings the possession of one human being, then another, then another. Christ is the light of both Jew and Gentile, which is good news for us Gentiles. He is the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is our priceless, secondhand salvation. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, till life everlasting. Amen.